Father, we thank you for a time like this. Thank you for an opportunity to hear your word. Thank you for the teaching of your word. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the gift of the ministry gift. Our Father, as we hear your word, we receive correction, insight, rebuke, admonition. Yeah. As the word is taught and correction received, we'll walk in line with your word in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, as we get to learn more about giving in the local church, yeah, we know how to strengthen our local church through our giving, how to walk in love through our giving. Yeah, our eyes are open, our ears are receptive. Yeah, we receive your word. We receive your word this evening with meekness, as like little babes. We receive your word with meekness. We receive your word with meekness, without error in our minds, and there is no error in this atmosphere. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word will come to us, and we will be receptive to it. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're looking at giving in the local church. This should be the sixth section, if I'm not mistaken. Sixth section. Hallelujah. So we began looking at a couple of things last few weeks. Hallelujah. I'm trying to see how I can double up, because CLC is around the corner. Hallelujah. CLC is around the corner, so we need to double up. So we're looking at giving in the local church. I want us to get into the month of March proper. We have Holy Ghost meeting on through our Sunday service. By Sunday, we'll talk something else. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, a certain I've observed. You know, you could get to that point where, because you know, pass from the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28, and because you cannot recite it. So, Pastor is reading and you are reciting. That is rebellion. Amen. Don't do that. Hallelujah. You know, that simple act of, I tell you guys, I do it a whole lot. I write
around when, especially when I'm studying.
But there's something I don't do. I don't allow the fact that I know Matthew 28 mark and get into my head. I have to open it. Amen. Many a time, if you get to my house and meet my Bible open, many a time is in Matthew 28. Amen. That is that simple devotion you have to always learn to do. Amen. You can get to that point where you just say it's Matthew 28. No. Amen. And it also happens when pastor is preaching. Never be found, the pastor is reading out the scripture, even if he's quoting it, he must not be found saying it to him. Amen. You know that? It's wrong habit. It's a bad habit. It's a bad one.
Amen. Open it and see. You know that? Amen. You know, you can quickly just run through, pastor is reading verses 4, you went through 4, or you went through 3, 4, 5.
Context. Amen. Just be intelligent. Hallelujah. Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, that's what power, as they give it unto me in heaven and earth. He said, go therefore, make disciples of every nation. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you all the days of the day for you. And everyone, remember that you have then. That's the hazard of this. Because everybody knows I have a particular scripture I like to read, and everybody thank God to know it. I want them to open to something else I wanted to read. And funny enough, everybody didn't open there. And I was quoting something else. Everybody was just looking at me. And I'm not in there. Some people know I was not reading from that verse anymore. Amen. That's why you need to say half a to know. Amen.
Amen.
So, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son of the Holy Ghost. It is teaching them to observe. I told you that baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not actually
doesn't have any collaboration in any part of the scripture, so it shouldn't be a point of argument. Don't build a church over that. Hallelujah.
He is teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and know I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And really, back to it, we're looking at that word, I am. And who am I? When Jesus says, I am with you always, watch that. He's looking at the word, I am with you always. Now, the words of the word, and who am I then? I am, is that very fact that points to Jesus as God. Amen. So Jesus makes that statement about himself. Amen. That I am. So he's saying he is the God of the scriptures. And I showed us that from John chapter 8 verse 52, Jesus had that conversation with the Pharisees, and he told them before Abraham was, I am. And they picked up stones. Why would they pick up stones? Oh, he wasn't talking about age there, because this is 49 and verses 49 to 51. 49, 50 and 51. They just sorted out the age. Because in that verse, they said, are you up to 50? How dare you say you know Abraham? How can you say you've seen Abraham? You're not up to 50. And Jesus said, no. Before Abraham was, I am. So he now tells them what he's talking about. And they picked up stones. Why would they pick up stones? Because they said, before Abraham was, I am. Because the use of the word I am is the word reserved for God. Amen. Reserved for God. So he said, before Abraham was, I am. That is, I am the God of Abraham. That was Jesus saying. And he said, no, this is heresy. Crazy, right? And then he picked up stones and wanted to stone him. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus makes you see that he is the God of the Old Testament. Look. So any doctrine that doesn't portray Jesus in the light of who he is in the Old Testament, but as the God of Israel, is not a teaching of scripture. Amen. No, no, no. So any belief outside Jesus is God is not of God. Amen. Very vital and very important. So he went further to say, I am with you always. Now the word I am with you always, I told us, is the fact of the soter in soteria. Amen. The soter in soteria. Soter is the word, the savior in salvation. Whereby where the soter will be found with those whom he has saved. I like to use the same word. I like to use the Greek word there. The soter in soteria, where the soter will be found with those whom, or with the sozos. Amen. Those whom he has saved. Sozos. Amen. Those whom he has saved. Hallelujah. Those whom he has saved. So, very vital. So he said, I am with you. And we said that word, I am with you, is Matthew's shorthand of Acts of Apostles 1 to 28. It's the shorthand of the Acts of the Apostles. I am with you. So that means in the preaching of the gospel, raising disciples, it is God walking through the believer. Just the same way John will put it. John will say, whosoever says ye forgive, are forgiven. And whosoever ye retain, I retain. What is he talking about? He's saying God is walking through the believer. Come on. Or put, God is carrying out his task in all the earth through the believer. So when a believer is involved in the work of ministry, it is God carrying out his ministry in the earth through the believer. Mark will put it this way. And Jesus came to them and said, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Say, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Mark 16, 15 is just interpreting. And this sign shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name they will cast out demons. You know, the very argument about, is it, this kind of prayer that believe in my name, or this kind of prayer that believe in my name. Amen. Well, that is, you know, if you understand how scriptures was written, you don't have issues with that. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's put it anyhow you want to put it, but we're not dealing with that now. Then in my name don't cast out demons. So speak with new tongues. So they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. So they will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. He says, so then, after the Lord had spoken of to them, say he was received up into heaven, and sat at the right hand of God. Did you see that? He said, and they went forth. Look at what how they put it there. He said, and they went forth and preached everywhere. So with the Lord doing what? Walking with them. That is the I am with you.
Amen. The Lord is walking with them and compassion towards the signs following. Very vital, you need to see that.
Then Luke brings out a part of that 40 days that it is Matthew, Mark, and John.
Okay, John spoke about it. But
it is Matthew, Mark, and Luke were not elaborate on, but though they spoke about
it. What he was doing within the 40 days, he was teaching them.
Amen. That's what Mark would say, he rebuked them.
That was that point of teaching. Hallelujah, it's a short time.
John will say, he breathed on them. So that's 40 days. Summarizing to a word. It's a style of writing also. Yeah. So let's see that. So Luke brings that out for us in Luke 24.
What did he say? He said he taught them. Luke 24 verse 44. He said, "These are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." And he opened the ear of that study that they might comprehend the scriptures. Look at what he has done. He taught them from the Old Testament book. Now when you put Luke 24 vis-a-vis Matthew 28,
quickly, look at what he says. Matthew 28, 20, he now said to them, teaching them in discipleship. Teaching them, and what has he done? He has taught them. So that means he has become for them a model of what they would do towards the disciples.
Hope you're following. Amen? Hope you're following that. Has become for them a model of what they would do in teaching. So that means Jesus will model teaching to them.
Amen? Look at verse 27. How did he teach? That is where you have the word to interpret.
Verse 27, he said, I'm just doing a round of, I'm covering some grounds on time. But I know I'm a bit fast. Because I've been teaching you this for weeks, for 6 weeks. The same thing I've been saying.
So, look at verse 27.
Look at verse 27. What is it? It says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. That's when you have the word
to interpret there. To interpret. So, he interpreted scripture. That means in the teaching of scripture you are an interpreter.
Or you can put it this way, because the local church is actually in the background, you say the local church is an interpreter class where scriptures are interpreted.
Hallelujah. Are we following that?
This light looks to be faint.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I would say, in interpretation,
we seek to find what was in the mind of the writer when they wrote. What was in Moses' mind? What was in Jonathan when they wrote? What was in their mind? I would say, for you to know what was in their mind. I gave an assignment to my student.
A test. I don't want to do it here, but... Okay. Don't worry. We'll sort that out later. Not today. Amen. Amen. I'm amazed. I'm serious. Let me not go by with you
on media.
Yes, I came with your script. I should give you after church. Amen. Okay, where were we? Okay, so seek to find what was in the heart of the mind of the writer when they wrote.
So what was in their heart?
He said, for you to know what was in their heart, because they are no longer on the scene, you would have to do something. He said, we have to rely on their text. And relying on their text, he said, a word will not mean today what it never meant when the writer wrote it. So if a word means today, anything different from what the writer has said, I'm interpreting nonsense. Hallelujah, it's nonsense. So a word must not mean today what was not
the writer's intention when he wrote.
Hope you're following me. So if the writer is writing
much like this word, much like this.
Okay, let me use the most common one. My old man was crucified. It doesn't mean you should not read it that your old man is your pastor. You have to, it has the old man of Paul must be your old man in interpretation today. If not, we're going to miss it. So that means, in Bible interpretation, I must be careful with contemporary words. Though sometimes,
those words used in scriptures are not contemporary words of our day, but in their day was suitable.
Amen.
Just like the word of old man there was suitable in his words.
But contemporary times have changed. So I must not use my today's language.
Do you see that?
Today's contemporary words to interpret scripture. I have to read the word in his word.
Do you get me?
Amen.
And in doing that, we then said scripture must be allowed to interpret itself. We said that. The scripture must be allowed to interpret itself. That is, a text of scripture must be, it has, a text of scripture has the capacity to interpret itself.
Put it that way. Context.
So you must read words in context. Be careful of definition. Be careful of dictionary. I don't think dictionary is wrong, but be careful of dictionaries. Amen. Be careful of dictionaries.
Very careful.
Because dictionaries aren't supposed to give you the meaning of words. But be careful of dictionaries. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Be careful of dictionaries. Get the meaning of words from the context of usage. I will give in. I've given you more than enough example on that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Context is key.
I say context is key and king. Thirdly, we said a word or a statement that proves impossible, you should know that a figure of speech is intended. Hallelujah. A figure of speech is intended. We looked at some of those words.
Amen. Like we look at the word blood. We look at the word eat.
At this point, every section I take it, I miss it up with Sunday, Thursday. But today, I told myself I'm not going to miss it up.
Amen.
We look at the word eat. We look at the word bless.
Amen.
Bless will actually fall in using contemporary words. Bless and curse. Do you see that? And we saw that bless
when you use the word curse, sometimes doesn't mean you have to speak a word. Curse sometimes will just mean you're quiet.
Amen.
You didn't say anything, you didn't do anything.
Amen. So you must allow context to interpret. Bless means it's not, bless means to speak what is worthy of commendation.
Amen.
To speak well, to speak good of. You see that?
Worthy of commendation.
Speak good of. Glory to God. Say, no. You have to read it well. Amen. Eat. For example, eat. We looked at,
we now took it to Genesis 3.
Now looked at the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We saw that the same way, so eat means, it is used to imply to accept. Right? So, when Moses says, eat of the tree of life, what is the tree of life? And he wrote for us to see that Adam and Eve were placed with two options. Two choices. I was saying that to someone today. Not actually on Adam and Eve, but I was telling somebody that God places on to man choices. And God doesn't infringe on your choice.
Rather, what God does is, God makes you see this is the right choice to make.
Amen?
But he doesn't infringe on your choices.
He gives you choices. Hallelujah. Amen. So, I said that to say this. So, the same way, Adam and Eve have that two options. Every man, Adam and Eve becomes the archetype for man.
Yeah.
Archetype there. So, for man, to mean that every man too have the same choice of the tree of life or the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We saw that Moses will now use it to write to them in Deuteronomy.
Amen.
Amen.
In Deuteronomy. Get the previous.
In the Deuteronomy that they were faced, every man had that two options. And what does he call the tree of life? Faith. Do you see that? Amen? It's a hearken to the word of the Lord. That is faith. Paul will pick it up to teach faith. What does he call the tree of knowledge of good and evil? He calls it death. He calls it curse. Paul, in Romans 5:12, will say sin entered into the world. Did you see that? So it is sin. Hope you're following me. Unbelief. Hope you're following me. Amen. Amen. Hope you're following me.
So we saw the truth.
Glory to God. Fourthly, I've not actually called this fourthly before. I'll make it the fourth now. He said God will accommodate their culture. That's what we saw.
God will accommodate their culture. Oh, Moses will give them, or Moses will use their culture.
Their culture to point them towards God's plan is, and God will accept it. Moses will use a culture that is known to in their world to teach them about God's plan, and God will accommodate it.
We also saw it in where? In Jacob. God didn't tell Jacob to put oil, but because the use of oil was in their world to show them that something is sacred. So God accommodated it. Did you see that? How did God accommodate it? God will call the same place the same thing that Jacob did to me. Come here, follow me.
You all understand that, right? Okay, let's go further a bit. So he said Moses will give them, will use their culture to point them to what God is about to do, or God is doing. Amen. So we saw that tithe was a culture in their world. Was not restricted to Israel alone.
When Abraham gave tithe, Abraham wasn't
an Israelite.
Abraham was not
an Israelite. Amen. Israel started from Jacob. Amen. Abraham was not a Jew, but it was a culture in their world.
And in their world, there you give a sense of what you have to royalty, people that are honorable.
Amen. In this society, kings, prince, and Melchizedek was a king. And I said something, somebody said, no, Melchizedek did Holy Communion, then Abraham and gave tithe. No.
Melchizedek actually, they had a,
Holy Communion, when they say Holy Communion, they're referring to wine and bread. I said wine and bread is a shorthand for unge, food.
Amen. I own
them. That's the same way people have called what Esau ate, porridge yam. They say, your best right.
It's not porridge yam.
Amen. If it is porridge yam, Pastor Wisdom has lost his best right since.
Amen. It's not porridge yam.
Porridge yam at all. You know my porridge yam is my food. I love porridge yam. At some point there was a time I was like porridge. It's not a porridge.
Hey, why
were
we small? Why were we small?
They just was teaching us that Esau ate porridge. Jacob gave Esau porridge to it and he lost his best.
My brother was not aligned in
porridge. Porridge, you call. Maybe because I was Jacob, you know, Jacob's second born.
I don't love porridge. Now I will eat and eat your best life.
Amen. Yeah, let me eat your best life and joy. So no one to be first. Well, it's no competition.
Well, that would just make this more as long.
No. You're the God. Let's continue. So, where were we? Oh yeah, tithe. So, it was not Holy Communion or sharing bread and wine. No, it was food, unje. So when we were going,
I said this to say, not totally, I can be wrong.
That it was at that point of feasting that Abraham knew that this guy was a king. I just believe that. How they knew that this guy was a king? So he spoiled because it was a culture in their world.
My royal highness, I have said, this is my spoil. Amen.
It was just his royalty, give it to royalty. It was in their world. It was in the Near Eastern culture. Amen. So Moses, look at what Moses did. Just the same thing he did for Sabbath. You know, Sabbath day, you didn't find the patriarch, for example. I'm not going to break this to that. You didn't find the Sabbath, the patriarch, have any special day where they say it's a day for worship. For Moses to write, for them to see that there was a seventh day, the Lord's rest. Did you see that? So, you remember in the same audience, the audience of Genesis, the audience of Exodus. So, he now gives them the Sabbath day worship. But he has written it already. Did you see that? He says already. But do we see? Hope you're following me. Amen? Amen? The same way too, he has shown them that there is sight in it was a culture. In fact, they understand that it was a culture. So, but what is Moses using that to teach them? Is what you should find out. Remember, I said if you teach when it comes to figure of speech, use of imagery, use of cultures like that, always ask yourself, what does it point to? So if you leave what it points to, listen, when you leave what it points to and start doing the shadow, you are just not making sense. Okay, what are you? Just like Moses telling them heaven and earth. I have done, and then now made a tabernacle and showed them this is heaven and earth. You ruined all your certificates, you never started going inside there. Ah, God is inside here. See, there's something wrong with you, son. Amen. You have to look at your teaching notes again. What you have taught? Okay, following me. Okay, following me. So the same way too, Moses now writes to them tithe, but he's using it to teach about what giving. So he employs what they know already in their world. Tithe. And what does he now do? He now separated the Levite. Before he separated the Levite, he told them God wanted all of them to be a kingdom of priests. Did you see that? So he now handpicked the Levite and said, you give the Levite tithe. The Levite will not work, but they will take tithe. Did you see that? Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Amen? But they will take tithe. So the Levite will now stand in the stead of the root of royalty. Did you see that in their world? But it's showing you, you need to teach something. How are you following that? Amen. Glory to God. So when we get to Malachi, where people do not know how to throw in the divide, he now says, you robbed me. I will settle that, right? For the sake of those who are not yet, we're going to go back to him, but I will just jump in and jump out. So for the sake of those who are not yet, Malachi 3, verses 10, it says, okay, it says, verses 8, say, will a man rob God? Yes. Ye have robbed me. When you say ye have robbed me, look up. We look at this. We say, who did they rob? Is it God or the Levite? The Levite. Did that? But the same way, when you read Exodus very well, when we read from, we saw that what you do, Moses call it is tithe. Moses called it is the Lord's. Did you see that? And who were they supposed to give it to? The Levite. But he called it the Lord. So that means, you have to watch identification there. Amen. That's identification. So God says, you have robbed me. Who actually did they rob? The Levite. Did you see that? He says, now, let's go further. The Levite, right? Come on. Remember, we saw that it is going to be what is going to be service. We saw that too in the previous week. That in giving, Moses writes for them to see that it is going to be service. Right? Worship. It's an act of worship. Now let's go further. Look at what he says. He now says, wherein have you robbed me? He says, in tithes and offerings. He says, ye are cursed with a curse. Where is the curse? Ye are cursed with a void curse. Say, God, now started doing,
it will be better for you. Ah! It won't!
No! You are cursed with a curse. Is it God that is doing the cursing? Emphatically, no. Who did?
The Levite. What is the curse? They said nothing.
Because the opposite of this is blessed. What is blessed? To speak what is worthy of commendation. To speak. And we saw that it's going to be what? Praising. Thanksgiving to God. We saw that even for Moses. Did you see that? So when Nan said, curse, he didn't say anything. You dropped them. So that is the God. Okay, following me. Okay, following me. Glory to God. We're going to see that. So he said, yeah, curse with the curse. He says, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. See? The nations were engaging their fight. Now, question is, Is it? Okay. I have that question, but I myself didn't answer it to you guys. Is it the shadow or the real thing? Let's continue. Okay. Look at verse 13. Bring ye all the fights into my storehouse, that they may be meat in my house. Jesus said, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven. Now, we said the windows of heaven. What is the windows of heaven? It's not where snow is. So the windows of heaven will be what? Word that are worthy of commendation. Did you see that verse 7 coming? Emphatically, yes. Did you see that? So the windows of heaven will be what? The heart of man. Right? Word from the heart of thanksgiving, of commendation. Did you see that? Amen. We're going to get to see some of these things again. So Paul will write 2 Corinthians from here. Because what it points to is the act of giving, not a tenth. So Moses' focus was not the one tenth. Moses' focus is giving. Do you see that? Not one tenth. Go to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So, very vital. Open the windows of the world. Pour. Okay. Pour out blessings. Isn't that blessing? Baraka. Right? Right? Okay. That they shall not be... that they shall not be room enough to receive it. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. So let's move further a bit. We have started looking at it from 5 minutes here. Amen. Amen. Okay. Okay. So, we have moved further a bit. Now, so what is the tithing pointing to?
The giving. Which giving was pointing to Christ. I would say Christ is the essence, right? Pointing to Christ.
Christ giving. How Christ gave himself. So Christ now becomes the model.
Hallelujah. Teach of God's giving. Hallelujah.
Amen. Look at what he said in that Malachi quickly. I skipped something. Malachi 3. I skipped something. Look at it. It says, bring their tithes into my storehouse, that they may be meat in my house. So when he says they may be meat in my house, it means there will be no lack. That's what it means. That there shall be no lack. We're going to see this.
Meat in my house. We're going to take that up. And we're going to see this in relation to what Paul will write about their act of love in 1 Corinthians, that some died, some perished, some are dead, some are saved. And you take it from Malachi 3, 9, 10. 8, 9, 10. You see it.
Amen. Amen. Go with God. Let's continue. So where are we? Okay, yeah. So I said it points to Christ himself.
Points to Jesus himself. He gave it. He gave himself. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So when it says that there will be meat in my house, it means there will be no lack. Take that. There will be no lack. So giving is to ensure that there is no lack. So we say it's the voice of Jesus and how Jesus gave himself. Therefore, why did Jesus give? So that man doesn't lack the strength. Isn't that? He gave himself that we wouldn't lack the strength. Man wouldn't lack the strength. So we say Jesus becomes for us that example of giving. What was we said last week? I know it was tough. Jesus becomes for us that example or that model of giving in the local church. And we said it will be part of our service, or it's like part of our service to God. So let's see. Last week we said, we began saying, how was it taught in the four gospels? We saw some beef and the cover. We saw a bit of that. Amen. Amen. And we saw how Jesus used
give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, press down, shake it together. Now, we say we're talking about man's reward system. Not, so you don't give without my measure. I want to give 10,000 so that I will get 1 million. God, because if you don't drop, it will not grow. See, close. If you don't drop, what do you have in your hand? God says you should drop it. Drop the staff when you talk to his servant. Drop the 1K for you to get the 10K. You should have said God used to do Istenebe. I want that. God is into bed. Or God is now doing Abayon. God is now Abayon. How can you say that? Hallelujah. Can you say God, you just drop 1K, you just want to 5K. You know what? I remember one day we were in school. That is how funny some of this materiality gospel can get. As in, it can get very, very funny. They now told us to bring our, then we don't get no, okay, ATM just came out. So we usually have passbook. You know what is passbook? Oh my gosh. Okay, you get into the bank, you know what they call withdrawal slip. So it will be in form of a check, it's called passbook. Everybody should come with that. So if you carry your, automatically carries your account number, everything. A new generation. I don't know, small. You know? We now came to it, we now came to fellowship center with it. Carry this! They begin to call the money you want into that account. Not a joke. It still was not, I was just speaking this, it still was very clear.
No, man of God. Because they call man of God. You need to call me. He said, look at how well he said, me, I just cover 50K. Copy that! 50. Call your account number.
I don't call my own account number.
1-0-3-5-4-4-3-2-2-1-1. 50K, locate.
My phone was not digested, but I prayed it. Who don't want money?
I prayed it.
When they corrected me, trust me. I bonfire.
You speak it.
You mean you're a student, you think you speak it? Your life is made. What time did Mitch went to Mitch and say, sir, this thing is not right. He said, no, he was not giving me. And that is how funny it can be. He's not giving me unnecessary testimony. Somebody made a mistake. And you are glorifying your meat, somebody else is missing. Do you know what the person is saying? He said, teach at him. As we were here talking, he didn't take up today. A friend of mine that we were in that meeting, now got one credit alarm. 37 of God don't work. I said, well, that's this thing works. He said, and that day, I guess it was, and that a weekend or whatever. It was a weekend. So he just said, Allah, I said, hey, I'll call you. Hey, boy, fine. Go. No! This is... Hey, boy, fine. Calm down. No, again, I do that. Hey, calm down. You have to say, hey, you're not going to withdraw it. What is the one I'm saying? They say, nobody says, best friend of God, get to the bank. I don't go to the bank. I was not as content. I just wanted to see me. I wanted to say, don't go to bank. Say, sir, I lost the complaint. If you see the way the woman was just so happy, pregnant woman. Ah, God will bless you.
The guy was boiling.
God will bless you. I was in this. He was supposed to do a debit. He now did the debit. Now did double posting. So the person is like that. So he was supposed to say, that she was around on Saturday looking for that mistake, she couldn't find it. That's already thinking she was going to pay with her salary. She was just telling me, giving me what worthy of commendation. But my brother was boiling. They go bless you. She didn't give us money, but she blessed us. The guy was not able to talk to you.
Let me say this to this one. I'm holding you.
Yeah. I said, this is silly. You have to... I'm serious. Why did you do that? So, no, God is a God of possibility. I understand. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to how God meets our needs. We'll get there.
Amen. Stop doing nonsense.
Hallelujah. Materialistic gospel can be very funny. Amen. I'm not sure if you remember what I told you on Sunday.
I said, your being prosperous or not being prosperous is not a determinant of whether you're in poverty. I said that was for Sunday.
Right? It's not a determinant. You must settle that in your mind. You can ask Cain. Cain was out of God's will. Cain. He was driven to become fugitive and vagabond.
We're going to answer that question. Fugitive and vagabond doesn't mean he was walking up and down. The fugitive and vagabond in their world must be the same today.
He was vagabond. And I ask somebody. Cain is vagabond, fugitive. He will be walking up and down. And yet he had a city. A city means he was a big man. I want to be vagabond too, right? You don't want money. Come on, if you are just walking around, I can give. How am I walking? Give me change pants. I will
swallow my pride. Baby Allah, I will do it. Amen.
That means you have to read it well. Amen. He had. Cain that sold birthright became richer than Jacob. You don't know. Jacob saw him and bowed down. Cain was coming with entourage, with men. You know the entourage. What was Jacob carrying? 12 children. The line children, some line men. So, brother, make money. Amen. Let's continue. Where were we? Oh my God. Okay. So we said that was a judge. Their system of judgment in their world. So in Luke 6, the same thing said in Matthew 7.
Luke 6, 35. He says, give you shall be given to you, good measure, present, shake it together, shall men give to your bosom. And you're talking about judgment.
You see that? So it was a reward system of man. But when it comes to giving, we'll find an example in Jesus. And how would he give? Look at how Paul will put it in Romans 8, verse 32. How did Jesus give? Romans 8, 32. Very vital. Not give so that we care. The most funny one is, you want to give birth to a child, go and sow seed to someone that just gave birth to a child. What can that, can life be that? Come on. Amen. Say you want healing in your body, look for someone who is well, who is in health, sow seed. Amen. Romans 8:32 says, study the secret for living. You see you, 32. It says, he that spared not his own son, you see that? But did what? Delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us of all things? You see that? So how did God give? Free. You see that? Free. Free. Let me correct myself. Last week I said the use of the word gave in John 3:16 was carried. It's not carried, it's actually didomi. I take back that to deliver. And hallelujah. Amen. I have to do that to you because of what I just told you. That. So he gave freely. This is that. How did God give? Freely. Hope you are seeing that. How did God give? Freely. So therefore, that becomes our attitude to giving. Free. We don't give. When we get to the core, as we I want to get to Corinth last because I have will touch on it in two other series before that. Do you get me? Amen? So I said to go through Corinth. I told us not to read, to listen to Bible doctrine on giving a gift. Because I dealt with Corinth there very well.
Hallelujah. But when you get to Corinth, you now see how Paul will now give. We want to talk about you give not grudging. You see that? Freely. Freely. Amen. Freely. So we now model that to give freely.
You see that? To give freely.
So I have something in my notes. I say, it says, as believers, we don't give because we want to receive. We give because it is part of our service to God. And it should be free. Freely. It's part of our service to God. Look at the book of Acts. We need to get to Acts. Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Look at Acts 2. Acts 2 verse 41. I mean, no, verse 42. But let me give you a background to Acts 2. Acts 2 is the day of Pentecost. Come here, follow it. Come here, follow it. In Acts 2, was the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. After the Passover. So, and it's a Jewish festival. It's a Jewish festival for a new beginning. Watch that. Listen. For a new start. Now, it's a Jewish festival. Jews from all over the world. Listen. Jews from all over the world will go. Not the same way today. We have China break and the Chinese go back to China. Listen. The Jews from all over the world, any part, usually will come together if you have the money. That's the perfect thing. You come together and converge in Jerusalem. You see that? So now, why it was Pentecost Day? No Jews that came from different walks of life, different cities came to Jerusalem, and 3,000 got saved. Watch this. It's just like a new beginning, carnival, and 3,000 got saved. Those 3,000, listen. Those 3,000. And remember, what did they come for? Came for the Pentecost and to go back. Do you see that? They have to go back to their works of life after Pentecost. Do you see that? So their plan was to come Pentecost and go back. It was just a festival. But 3,000 got saved. And look at what Luke wrote in verse 42. And they continued. Continued means they didn't go back. These are people who plan to come and go back, right? But hey, I found salvation. You hope? Yeah. Hope you're getting it. Amen. Okay, so I found salvation. I'm not going nowhere. Hope you're following me. I found foundation. I found salvation. I'm going nowhere. So the Bible says they continue steadfastly. That means they stay back. Right? They stay back with their money finished. Yes. We start thinking of new cashless policy. Yes. With ATM, they left the ATM at home. There is no ATM. Amen? But they have to stay. Now, look at what happened. Verses 43. Acts 2 for the 3. In fellowship and in the breaking of bread. Look at verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Verse 44. And all that believed. Is it the 3,000? Plus the 120? Right? And all that believed were together and had all things in common. Mark that. They had all things in common. All things in common. Mark that word, all things in common. Does all things in common mean there was no lack? That's what it means. Hallelujah. They had all things in common. Look at verse 35. And sold their possession and goods and parted them to all men. So every man, as every man had need. So look at that cover there, verse 35. But it says, every man had need. It means they distributed what they had to the point that there was no lack. Isn't that? Amen? Every man had need. So as you have need, your need was less. Amen. Watch that. Look at what Enan says. And great grace was upon them. Oh, sorry. I'm not there. Where am I? But it says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something you need to see. So, as everyone had need, means there was no lack. No lack at all. So, their needs were met. So, this is how the needs in the local church are met. Report. We give to meet the needs of the local church. We want to dwell on this shortly. Now, look at chapter 14. Chapter 4, verses 32. It says, the multitude of them which believe, multitude now, were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which be possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Did you see that? Amen. Verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Did you see that? Great grace was upon them all. Neither were there any amongst them that lacked. Did you see that? Verse 34. For as many as the possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of those things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. So there was a procedure. Did that? Hallelujah. Amen. So it says, one, they have no lack. They have no lack. It says, how was it that distributed? It was placed at the apostles' feet. When you say apostles speak there, it means it was under the supervision of the apostles. Amen. We're going to come here shortly. Under the supervision of the apostles. In giving. In giving to those who lack. Just under the supervision of the local church. Giving in the local church should not be done outside the supervision of the local church. So we give to those who have need. We saw the 3,000. Many of them from that 3,000 had need. Did you see that? Amen. And just done through the apostles. Why was it done through the apostles? Why was it done through the apostles? See. Money. To avoid somebody not having extra power over another person in church. Because money can buy people's loyalty. It should be done through the local church. Amen. Amen. You don't have through the local church. So you don't, in fact, the local church, you're not supposed to give, listen. And it's good to invite this call. Amen. Somebody has need and you want to meet the need. Don't go and do it on your own. Do it to your pastor. Pastor will do it. Amen.
Amen. You see a need.
Ah, this is what happened.
Talk to your pastor and the apostles.
Look at Acts 6.
They had dispute over food. Do you get me? So who was in charge of it? When you look at Acts 6:1, it was the apostles. So people, the widows had need of food. People who had food didn't take it straight to the widows. They brought it first to who? The apostles. Amen. Very vital. For onward distribution to the widows.
Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. My time is a bit up, but I need to drive home some of these few points.
Amen. Sorry, sleeping. What's done?
The right way. That is the right way. Through the apostles.
One, because of people who domineer other people because of they have money. Two, the role of the pastor in the local church is not to spend the game. It's not to make people become lesser to other members of church. When we are in church, it doesn't matter where you work, how you work, who you work, and from where you work from. We are from one source. We are together. Amen. Amen. There's no partiality. No partiality. We are all brethren. For one another. There's no separation. There's no seat for pastor or most of the branch manager with staff. Special. Yeah, we don't do that. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. But we don't do this. We don't do MD position. This MD position. If not, you don't put MD in front. We give it to send to Chicago. We send it to Ghana.
We don't do that.
Hallelujah. Amen? But say, this is seat for the apostles. Apostles came back for people. No, we don't do that. Amen?
We don't do that here. Hallelujah. I do expect you at this one to be answering Tim. Answering Tim. What is your name is Tim. Why do you say, don't worry.
A pastor Christian name Tim. Tim Pastor.
Yeah. Amen. So, very vital. So, it must come to the apostles. Right?
Also, too. To ensure that they are not lazy, there's no lazy in our back. Paul wants us on that. We're going to get to see that next week from 1 Thessalonians. Amen. Amen. He tells us to back those who don't work. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Paul wants us that we should labor with our heads. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Labor with your hands. Labor with your hands.
So that means you might want to meet the need of somebody, and in the church, the leadership knows that person does not need it. That person needs to go and walk. Do you understand me? So you bring it to the church. Somebody will distribute it. Amen. Have you seen somebody who got angry that he gave something to church and he was expecting pastor to come and announce it?
Oh, today, Philemon gave us a donation.
No.
Want to mention? Sorry, you didn't mention my name. Is it easy for me to buy split AC in church? You should mention it. Philemon donated 30 split air conditioners to the church. In round of applause for his life. For what? Says, oh, a brother touched by God, brought by the Holy Ghost, gave us split AC. Amen. You don't like that? Is that not good enough? Say, oh, let's recognize the brother. As who? Mr. Who?
As who? Let's recognize the brother. Oh, let's recognize
Simi. Polaris banker. She blessed us. With what? Shares. A lot of applause for her.
No!
I gave us
chair. Yeah. No, sir, you threw my name on placard. Not the placard.
How can I follow you?
No things you don't do.
Amen. So the place of the, sometimes you might want to give, let's say you want to give, you're looking at the man of God. No. Let's, we are looking at the brother there. You didn't know that he's an MD. MD, ah.
And we know.
For example, I mean, there's a lot we know, and you drive, start driving to Ferrari now, you will miss heaven. So, I'm being minister to give you Ferrari. I say, give me the Ferrari! We'll give you the same pastor for the Ferrari, for him pumping the chair. If anyone he has got it on him, maybe we are doing like next 10 years. See the Ferrari, will see the okay.
Amen. But you understand what I'm trying to say? So that you don't have people buying over other people's loyalty in the local church. One, I don't have people lazing around. Paul wants people to say some people are busy body. Amen. You know, that a woman who is a widow who doesn't take care of her home. So they are. They will share food for us in church. So they are not working. Now I'm going from house to house. No! Okay, follow me. Amen? But the place of the local church is to ensure that there's no lack. And whose responsibility is that? The pastor. Amen. Look at a typical example in Acts 11. Look at Acts 11, verse 28 into 29. Are you there? It says, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there would be great drought throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Clido. But, then the disciples, every man, according to his ability, he said, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt where? In Judea. Did you see that? Which they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of who? Barnabas and...
So who did they send it to? Is it to the brethren or through the elders? Through the elders. If the elders, the leadership of the local church, that is how it's done. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was a day like that. Someone came to me and said, "Sir, I have this clothes that I'm no longer using. Find good clothes. I want to give it to this person. I said, "No!
Bring it.
Go and give it to your pastor. You know who to give me. Don't start jumping and saying, "Sir, do not recognize." The person will say, "Ah, you get it first." God bless the man of God.
Do you get
that? Is that?
Automatically, we are human beings. You begin to see someone. The person is buying your loyalty. You don't know. You don't know. Amen. Somebody wired you 20k. That's how I live. Lord bless you. Then not 20k. Stop. God bless you. Next one, 100k. Stop. God bless you. The next day tells you, "I need to leave that church now." You will leave. Amen. You will leave. Tell the job. It has happened. I'm telling you. Nothing has missed. You remember? So we are beginning to manipulate others in the local church because they are giving them money. Somebody wants to send you money. Say, tell it to pastor. They are saving your life. Tell it to pastor. Let pastor give me. Is that? Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is ministering to me to bless you. Tell it to
That's how.
One day, somebody sends money to your pastor.
And remember now.
Send money to your pastor. Oh, my God.
I don't call the name of the sister, but I'll call the name of the brother.
I guess it was wisdom. I said, sister, I almost called the name. Sister, how far? You paid my daughter, I say, yes. Say, what for? Say, I'm tapping. She said, it was tapping.
I'm tapping. Going, ah, he won. That one.
Careful,
careful,
man. Somebody will have bio. I'm tapping. Tap what? You know, at that point, you need to smoke on it. You say, no, send me your account number. Push in the bathroom. Well, now imagine the person now sends you a millionaire. I said,
yes.
Yes,
sir, I'm tapping. Tap more.
Say tap more, sir. Tap. Out of my belly. You know, it's no longer the lost belly. My belly is just small. Tap more. Amen. Hope you've learned something. Hope you learned something. Okay. Let me just read out my conclusion part here. I kind of broke it into to support those who lack.
Support the local church.
We're not talking
to how you support the local church.
But those who lack in local church. So that implies we'll give to support those who lack in the local church. But it will be done under the supervision of the pastor.
Hallelujah. Because it therefore implies your pastor, therefore implies you have to put your pastor in the Lord. You have to put your pastor in the Lord.
And when we do this, when we meet needs of brethren, and the brethren
goes to the Lord and say, Father, thank you for the things that you get. What happens? Is that thanksgiving? Is that blessing? Hallelujah! Is that blessing?
We're going to read that from 2 Corinthians next week. We're going to see that from 2 Corinthians. Amen. That's what?
Amen. That's the blessedness of giving. That's the blessedness is not... We're going to see again. I'm going to say that again. These are so sparing challenges that you don't need to talk.
Amen.
Sparing means you don't even show at all. Amen. So, what is the blessing? What is the receiving?
Thanksgiving.
Do you that? What is the receiving? Thanksgiving, right? To yourself or to the Lord. So you watch your treasure go. You watch it grow as you let it do.
What about you? It's the attitude of the believer and it's the attitude of service.
Who serve God in our giving? Amen? You serve God where? In your giving. So therefore, when you come to present at the local church
and you give to meet needs, you are actually walking in love. That is the walking love. It's our service, it's our work, is walking in love, it's part of walking in love. Look at Acts 2:42.
The consistent of the apostles' doctrine for the breaking of bread.
Did you see that? Now, get back to Acts 2, verses 43. It says, and faith came upon them, and all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possession. That is working in love, isn't it? Yeah? And parted them to all men as every man has faith. That is working in love.
Amen. So in giving, you are working in love. And it is service. In giving, you are working in love and it is service. Isn't that?
It's the Lord. Because how God meets our needs, we're going to take that next week from Philippians. When Paul says, the Lord shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory, he's not saying God is going to do that, he's going to fall from the sky. No. According to his riches in glory will be through you and I.
What do you see that? So God meets the need of brethren, meets the need of the local church, true believers. So therefore, I must be yielding to the Spirit of God. When it comes to giving his location, I must be yielding to the Spirit of God.
The same way, when you talk about tongues and interpretation, this is how I close. This is how I close it, and then we'll pick it up next week.
When it comes to tongues and interpretation, imagine, remember we say one word, pray in tongues and interpret. We edify one another, right? Is that working in love? What if I hold back? I'm holding back blessing, right? I'm holding back edification, right? Right? The same way too. When you can be led to give, and when you hold back, you are holding back the same thing. Edification, lack. You are holding back meeting the need of the brother. So you are leaving that person in lack. That is not working in love. What am I telling you? That's not working in love. That is actually working in the flesh. And working in the flesh is a sinful conduct. So you are working in sin. This is a sinful conduct. So you don't hold back. So the same way you are free to give a tongue and an interpretation so that the other person will be edified, the same way you should be free to give when you find a need in the local. You must not be cadeaued before you give. When you are being cadeaued, when you want to be cadeaued before you give, it shows there is something wrong with you.
A believer should give freely.
Amen? I will say what I used to say years back. It's an untrained man. An untrained mind that is afraid to give. An untrained mind that is saying, you have, it's annoying or it's painful.
Somebody has 100,000, has 200,000 and is saying, I don't have money. And there's a need. No!
Amen? You're untrained. And there is a need. No! You don't need to be taught to give. That's why I make sure I need to teach this before Sialis. I don't want to teach it. My plan was to get here before we also start giving for Sialis.
Yes.
To flesh this out. Now, it doesn't mean you are not being cadeaued to give. But when we are done teaching, we will be giving.
We're going to have a giving session at the end of this teaching. That should be next week. All around our churches, we're going to give back. We'll give.
What is this money giving you after that? There's a need. I don't say I don't have money. May God not make it up to have money. You see how people that don't have money say. Some people are not even broke for one. Be broke for one day. You know, broken is the need. But why some people don't know that? I think it's the same. You know they're not broke. It's not one day. When you have to soak one bag of garri, you don't know when you press. Without sugar, you lose. Amen. God meets our needs. He keeps us. Make the difference happen. So why are you holding back? Why are you holding back?
Some people need an angel to appear today before they will give. They have the Lord, they have the all, they have everything, but I cannot.
This one has died yet.
No, you have to give. Because that's how God meets our needs. Amen. Amen. That's how God meets our needs. We're going to see examples in scriptures. All through scriptures. That's how God meets our needs. From Paul, from Peter. You find it in scriptures. That God meets our needs. Glory to God. Amen. Say, God. Say, like, God uses me to meet the needs of fellow brethren and the local church. Hallelujah. So say after me, I don't hold back. Say, I don't hold back. I don't have that attitude of holding back. I give free without being cajoled. Hallelujah.
Watch it.
Watch it. I know people that when you tell them you have to sow because there are some demons chasing you, they'll give everything they have. But when they don't get to know the truth, no demon is chasing you. You don't sow to receive. You just give. They are giving from 100,000.
withdraws to 15 naira. It shows the way they didn't have, they weren't giving sincerely. They were not giving cheaply. They were giving because of what they want to do. But I say today, God is about to give people 1 million if you sow 100,000. Everybody here will go and boom. I'm not going to drop 100,000. That is, you are being cadeau. I know somebody that didn't have money. They told him that, listen, they told him that his enemy went to buy goats and sacrifice in an altar. That he needs to counter it to something higher. That he needs to go and get a cow. No problem, no problem. We did 48 hours. 150k showed up for cow. I can bet my head. The person before there didn't have up to 2,000. 2,000 was a big man. Money for cow showed up. How did he show up? Ah! My enemy is doing good. I will do cow.
Amen. He's being cajoled. But tell him, come and give in church.
I don't have money.
Why must you be cajoled before you give? That's nonsense. When I said peace, it's nonsense. Amen. So even if it is real, I tell you, but even if it is real.
And the enemy is killing. So the enemy is not killing your car. How will you kill? Elephant.
Stop fucking all those things. I said, the person has raising that money for me. The person didn't tell him to buy it and bring it. Send him money. I said, the person has a problem. He has 150 problems. Then I will go to go and help you pray on top of which useless mountain. Your leg pain easy. Some people pay money to people to help them pray. But tell them to give in church. No. Their hand will be sick. But they are working. I have a lot to say on this. Amen. Well, I've seen people around me fall victims of this thing. Seven. It's just something you should fall victim of. Somebody was told, go and sow the seed of a coffin because your enemy wants you to die. I said, the message they do for money. What is the seed of a coffin? Where is that in scripture? I said, no. The day passed. Did you die?
No.
Ah, thank you very much. I pray, but I died. You say, think. My mouth doesn't remember you, my friend. Today I said, my mouth does not remember you, my friend. I said, nothing. You want nothing? You can't want to buy this money. What is you then? Did this map look here? Few years ago, not even up to five, like 4 years ago, this family, you know, my dad was going to give, I have warned him, and when he was going there, I was warning him. Then the other was going to sow the seed of faith for coffee. I said, for what? They planned there. I said, okay, have you sown? He said, no. I said, he might go call you. He called, he said, you should never call your line again. Man, I sent him a message. I'm a prophet. I said, that shit, before your daughter, give him 30 days. Before your daughter, you don't know nothing. Let's pray now. Hey! I don't pray. How can I do? And then, here, that is the night I was in prayer. Now I wake up. And I'm just doing, no, I'm just praying in tongues. I have my mind is there. In prayer. Oh, I'll play games with my sleep. Anyway, you can
wait on me.
Nothing.
Amen.
No, don't be cattle.
That's where I'm just going to. Don't be cattle before you do.
Give because it's your attitude and a service to God.
It's my service to God. Let's go on our feet. It's my service to God.